this morning is Conrad versus City of Reno, case number 86340. Council ready to proceed?
Yes, Your
Honor. All right. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Your Honor, 5 minutes, if I may.
Okay, and so I think you're well aware of this, but your 15-minute clock will be running when it gets to 5 minutes. You'll get the yellow light and a tone to warn you, but the clock does keep running till zero.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. May it please the court, my name is Luke Busby, appearing on behalf of appellant Robert Conrad. Access to public records is a cornerstone of a healthy democratic society. It enables citizens to respond to the government's actions through the democratic process and ensures that the facts about the actions of public officials are not shrouded in secrecy. Under NRS 239001, Nevada's Public Records Act's purpose is to foster democratic principles, and it must be construed liberally. Any exemption, exception, or balancing of interests which limits or restricts access must be construed narrowly. Conrad's petition and now appeal involves two sets of requests to the City of Reno. The first pertains to the social media messages of Councilmember Devin Reese, and the second involves three specific requests for body cam footage that were either ignored, delayed, or insufficiently responded to by the city.
So sorry to interrupt, but I forgot to mention before we started, though it was very recent, just this morning, Justice Lee did recuse herself from this case, so she won't be participating. Please proceed.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. Yes, I did receive the notice. Thank you.
Okay.
These instances are not merely procedural oversights, but represent a continuing pattern of a lack of compliance by the City of Reno with Nevada's Public Records Act. The district court's ruling that Councilmember Reese's social media messages were correctly withheld was an abuse of discretion. The Comstock Residents Association v. Lyon County Board of Commissioners decision, which I participated in, teaches that any official business conducted on personal devices by elected officials falls within the ambit of public records. And the same is true of personal accounts.
Can I ask you a question about that? So what obligation does the city have to get things that are in the private, on private accounts of an individual? Like, what even ability do they have to get those things?
Justice Bell, I think that issue was addressed in the Comstock decision itself, wherein the court ruled that a government entity includes elected or appointed officers of the state's political subdivisions. And when it made that ruling, it cited to NRS 239.0055A, pardon me, which defines a governmental entity as an elected or appointed officer of the state or its political subdivision. Now, the City of Reno has, in essence, tried to pass the buck. They've said, well, we asked for these records. They weren't provided. What are we supposed to do? Well, an order for the court from the district court compelling the city to produce the records would be the first step in gaining compliance with the Public Records Act.
But wouldn't it have been possible to join Commissioner Reese and then have the order run directly to him?
It would have, Your Honor, but the request was made directly to the City of Reno, in this case by Dr. Conrad. And it was done under the understanding based on the Comstock case that any appointed officer or elected official of the City of Reno would be subject to that request.
Well, but if they go to the commissioner and he says there isn't anything, like what, they have no ability to go into his private accounts and obtain information, right?
That's true, Justice Bell, but Councilmember Reese in this instance certainly does. And I think that how this would work procedurally would be a few steps removed. We would seek an order from the district court ordering the city to produce the requested records. We've proven that some exist that were not disclosed. Councilmember Reese's public statements also indicate that such records exist. If there was a failure of compliance with that court's order, the district court could then do several things. We could request a motion to compel Councilmember Reese himself to comply with the order and produce the requested records as an employee of the City of Reno. The situation is no different where the city attorney asks any employee who was using a personal or private account to conduct city business for records that would be responsive to the Public Records Act. Just because Councilmember Reese is an elected official, we don't think excludes him from that requirement or from the requirements of the city as a whole to provide responsive records.
This isn't like a city-owned or paid-for phone, is it?
It's social media accounts. In that instance, the accounts are owned by Facebook or whatever social media service is being accessed. They can be accessed from any device.
Sure.
The district court actually found in its order that Councilmember Reese did these communications in his official capacity as a city official, but where we think the error lies is the district court's order that because they were done on personal accounts, they're beyond the reach of the city. We think under the Comstock decision, that's an error of law.
What ability would the city have to compel an elected official to provide something? I mean, it's really a different case than an employee where they could terminate the person for noncompliance.
Your Honor, I think the mechanism for compliance that would be required would be something from the court itself. If, in this case, apparently, the elected official simply refuses to comply. The situation wasn't that different in the Lyon County versus Comstock v. Lyon County case, where county commissioners were using their personal email accounts as contact information and were admittedly being utilized to conduct the public's business. And in that case, the way it worked at the end of the day was records were provided along with an affidavit from the individual elected officials attesting that, hey, these are the responsive records. Ultimately, it's our position that a court could certainly compel Councilmember Reese to comply with the requirements of the Public Records Act if he refused to do so at the request of the city.
But not if he's not a party.
He is a party, Your Honor. Our position is that based on the definition of a government entity in NRS 239.00555A, he's an elected appointed officer of the state or political subdivision of the state. He's subject to a request made to the city of Reno.
You could make him a party and subject him to a request, but you're asking for a court order compelling production of documents that are on private cell phones owned by Commissioner Reese or social media accounts. And so I agree with you that you could get an order compelling him, but I am troubled by the suggestion that he's somehow automatically subject to a court order when he is not a party.
I think it would be within the court's power to compel a non-compliant person, employee of the city of Reno, elected official, etc., to comply with the request if the city itself is unable to achieve that compliance. I don't think they have to be a party for that to occur, much in the same way that if a subpoena is issued to a third party in a civil action, the court can compel compliance with its order to carry out the production of records or testimony, etc.
But an action in this context, an action under the Public Records Act, is dependent on having made the public records request, which it's asserted were not properly complied with. So how in that context could there be an order to someone to whom there was not a public records request directed?
Your Honor, I think it's within the court's authority to compel compliance with a court order to Councilmember Reese in this circumstance as an officer of the city to whom the request was made. I think that the slippery slope that we see here is that this same analysis could apply to any elected official. If you make a public records request to the city of Reno for all council member communications on a particular issue, say a council member was using a private device to conduct it and then refused to comply with the city's request that the records be produced, even though everyone agrees essentially that they're public records, you wouldn't have to file individual cases against each city council member in order to gain compliance with the records request. And I think that's the reason why in the Comstock case, the court decided that a government entity includes its elected or appointed officers. And we read that to say you can make the request to the public body itself because, of course, all the communications are going to be made by individuals within that public body. If I may, I'd like to turn to the body cam issue very briefly in my last 50 seconds. Essentially, the district court in this case didn't have the benefit of this court's decision in Conrad v. Reno 1, which was issued in June of 2023. The order on appeal was issued in March of 2023, and the Conrad 1 decision basically says the court shouldn't just accept the government's representation as to whether a public record is confidential or not. It should conduct at least some sort of review, in-camera review, for example. We think just as in that case, the district court abused its discretion when it failed to review the body cam footage at issue in this case. And with that, I'd like to reserve my last 5 minutes for rebuttal, if I may.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Dunnigan, Deputy City Attorney, here on behalf of the City of Reno. I think the justices have the feel of this. Councilmember Reese is not a party to this action. He is defined as a governmental entity by 239.005 sub 5. What the public records law allows a requester to do is make a request of a governmental entity. This requester chose to make a request of the city. The city does not have control of these records under any test.
I'm a little bit concerned about the city's position that the communications that were provided from social media were not official communications, would not be subject to the Public Records Act, because they really seem to me to be directly related to the councilman's job as councilman.
Well, relating to the job, I don't think, is the test. The test can't simply be when a public figure or an elected official speaks on a matter of public concern. If that were the test, then an elected official would never be able to speak to a constituent without being concerned that a public record is being created if someone were to have filmed it, or take a campaign mailer, which I use the example in briefing. Certainly, Councilmember Reese has the ability to send a campaign mailer to all his constituents that says, Bird scooters are great, and I voted for them, and this is why you should like them. No one with a straight face would argue that's a public record. This isn't that different. This is just another means of communicating with constituents, gathering information. The business had already been conducted by the city. The city had already adopted the Bird scooter contract. And in the other case, the Twitter conversations that Councilmember Reese was having were simply him collecting information about sentencing. There was no business before the city council at that time. In the event that there was, city business is conducted by the city council. Reese is not the city. He speaks on behalf of the city, but only in a limited capacity and only at certain times, which is when he's 1/7 of a body that makes decisions about what the business is going to be. So the test for the test is not just that something is about a public record. It's about that it's in the provision of a public service. And that test was looked at in Blackjack Bonding. And what the court did in that case, this is a case where Metro.
So wouldn't a council person explaining the consequences or how a decision came to be fall under that definition?
I don't believe so. Not in this case, Your Honor, because if you look at Blackjack Bonding, the way the court determined the provision of a public service is that it relates to some right, some constitutional statutory right, or some rule of court, some duty that the public entity has under the law. And the duty in that case was, this court observed that Metro in that case could simply call up the phone company that they hired and get the records that had been requested instead of saying it's not in our custody and control. That was a statutory jail inmate right to make phone calls from the jail. There's no right like that in this case. This is a social media message. It's no different than
a councilman's communications with his constituents about a matter then pending before the city council are not public records, whether they're on Twitter or email or however it may be documented.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, are you asking a hypothetical? If it was before the city council?
Yes.
Okay, certainly I think that would be a public record. That is a lot more like the Comstock Residents Association case, where it was conceded that these commissioners were doing county business on their personal phones. The county put out the personal phone numbers and email addresses of the commissioners. And the the records in that case were had to do with a development that was a hot topic before the commission at that time. In this case, the Bird Scooter contract was, it was done. The council had acted. Devin Reese is simply telling a constituent, I think this is good. I think it's going to work out.
But if if you're wrong, and if we were to hold that had Commissioner Reese been joined as a party, those were public records and subject to production, is it your position that they, let me rephrase that. We only have the city here, and now you're arguing that the records were not public records. But if, in fact, they were, would the city have been able to compel Reese to produce them, even though he's not a party?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. I think that's exactly why NRS 239 defines an elected officer of a political subdivision as its own governmental entity.
But doesn't that burden the process entirely? Your colleague across the aisle here is makes a fair point. I mean, the request was addressed to the city. He's a city councilman. This concerns public business. Why should he have to make everybody a party?
Because we've got records, Your Honor. As this area of law develops, we've got records that the city does not have custody and control of. Councilman Reese, who is a governmental entity under the law, has the custody and control of these records. So it would be incumbent upon him to then make the argument that they're not in the provision of public service and not
subject to disclosure. But if he had clear public records under his custody and control, you're saying his refusal would put you in the same position you're here now?
I'm saying that he should have been compelled under 239.011 to be the one to disclose the records.
Does the city have the authority, in your estimation, to compel a councilman to produce what it believes are public records?
Do we have authority? No, I do not think we do. I think that's exactly why he's defined as a governmental entity, because these are records that he maintains, he controls. Okay. The city never touched these records. The city didn't know these records.
When you say that they're records that you don't have custody or control of and Councilman Reese does, is it because they're social media?
Well, certainly we don't have his Instagram password. I don't know what the city should have done that it didn't do here. It had a meeting. It said, this is the request. Do you have anything? They came up with the text messages. I think the city clerk, the repository of records, went above and beyond what she was required to do in trying to get Councilman Reese to come to the table.
I'm just trying to get at why you don't have. We live in an age where it's not just he's got a box of paper at home and you don't have that paper. It's a digital age where, by his own admission, if he's with his constituents communicating 24/7, that assumes any county-owned computer at work that maybe he's utilizing social media, personal device, phone through his employment that he's utilizing for social media. So you're not arguing that you don't have the ability to access his work computer for the things that might be on there. You're just saying maybe you don't have passwords to get into those accounts?
I'm saying if a computer is city property, certainly he has no expectation of privacy in that.
Right.
But to the extent that he's on his phone communicating on Instagram, short of the city clerk snatching his phone out of his hand and running away and getting it forensically cracked by the RPD to get the records, no, I don't think that we have the ability to do that.
But if all these social media accounts are accessed through his work computer, then you would have access to those records.
Yeah, if they were, I think our IT department would be able to do a forensic scan of all the websites he had visited. I would be able to show that he was doing it at work.
You know, the communications aren't public records if the city hasn't had access to them.
How do I know they're not public records?
Right. How do you know they're not communications that would constitute public records?
It's not up to me to say. It's up to
But you're here arguing they're not public records.
I'm here saying that I think Councilman Reese's analysis of the records in this case was actually correct. I just think that there's sort of two steps here. One, you've got the wrong governmental entity. And two, I think that at least as far as the examples that are proffered in this case, the two sets of social media communications, I don't think that they're public records because under case law about what the provision of public services is, they just don't qualify. So I do happen to think he was right, but I think this case came up wrong.
With respect to the question that Justice Herndon asked, though, I mean, what they're trying to get here is direct messages that wouldn't be in a public social media post, so you would have to have a password to be able to access the records of the direct messaging.
Yes. Well, I think counsel spoke to a court's ability to compel a party to do something. But as you pointed out, Councilman Reese isn't a party. So if he were brought, if he were named as a party, if he were compelled under 239.011, a requester has a right to go to court to compel production by the government entity with custody and control. That's not the city. There's nothing more we could have done. If there is something more to be done, it's to make the request of Councilman Reese. We may assist him. The city clerk's office may assist him in responding to the request. But it's up to him. He maintains those records, just the same as petitioner claims that we have all these records that we're, you know, trying to hide. Well, in this case, it's not the city's records. It's a councilman's records.
Would you go ahead and address the body cam footage issue?
Sure. So our position is that the city's response process, including the denial and the closure of requests, is appropriate. NRS 239 just doesn't require any monitoring or follow-up following the closure of a request. So 239.0107 sub D says that if an entity is denying a record request based on confidentiality, it has to do two things, and only two things. It has to provide notice of that fact and a citation to the reason. It does not say that the entity has to say when or if it will become available. Now, petitioner tries to apply subsection C, a different subsection to this. C is the, that's the provision that says if a government entity has a record but they can't give it to you by the fifth day, they have to tell you a reasonable date and time that they reasonably believe it will be ready. But fatally to petitioner's position on this issue, it also says except as provided in subsection D, meaning there's a carve out for when the government entity denies a request. And that's what we're doing. We're denying a request. We're saying, this is confidential. You're free to make another request in the future. And if I could speak just to the practical ramifications of this, respectfully, it's not that much work for one person to send one email, particularly when that person's job is to collect information and report it to the public. Now, the flip side of that coin is that RPD gets around 15,000 records requests per year. That's about 40 a day. So hypothetically, if half of those were about open cases, then what we're talking about is creating some kind of a database where we keep track of denials, adding 20 new cases every single day. That's 600 new ones a month. And it's someone's job at RPD to regularly go through this list and somehow track down what the disposition of the case was. A lot of times we don't know about the prosecution finishing a case. We, and even if it's still with RPD, it involves a records person tracking down the detective and getting details about the status of a case. It's completely impractical.
Let me ask you a question though, because it isn't entirely clear to me that this fall. So this isn't confidential in the sense, like, let's say, I don't know, you'd be providing somebody's social security number, right? That's always going to be confidential. So you have information that is confidential for a period of time, but ultimately will not be. So how do you think those two sections interact?
Well, I think that, frankly, Your Honor, I think it's gotten way too broad, the balancing of interests. And I think it would be terrific if the court could provide some kind of a bright line rule, something like FOIA Exemption 7, which simply excludes police investigative materials and ongoing investigations and open prosecutions, exclude it from the balancing test altogether. Those rights are too important. We're talking about someone's right to a fair trial, and we're balancing it in a state court promulgated test. This is a constitutional right. And the courts in this case, the district court, say in this case, is supposed to make an individualized finding that whatever is on that body cam footage is not confidential and can be released. But that district court's not the court that's in the position to balance someone's due process rights. That court's not presiding over that criminal case. That criminal defendant hasn't even been given notice and an opportunity to come forward in the writ petition action like we have here and assert their rights, assert, hey, I have a right to a fair trial. You're putting video out that I haven't even been able to get in criminal discovery. So I think, I know this court has been reluctant to give bright line rules, but it would be doing a tremendous favor to both government and requesters and criminal defendants and prosecutions if there was just simply an exclusion for these types of materials, and it wouldn't require analysis. You know, the district court in this case could have, I suppose, looked at a video that was requested 3 days after this shooting happened, and there's people around who might be witnesses, there might be suspects in the video that the police haven't had a chance to find, and the district court, sitting in equity, is somehow supposed to look at that record and determine that it should or shouldn't go out. I just think it's a bad system, Your Honor.
Perhaps it's the legislature's job to evaluate what's in the Public Records Act and whether there should be a hardline exception.
I don't disagree with that, Your Honor, but the legislature so far has not even been willing to provide a definition of what a public record is, so I don't have high hopes that that can happen.
Okay.
I see that my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Justice Cash, members of the court. I'd like to just briefly address a few things that were just mentioned by the City of Reno. Number one, I just want to point out that when we filed the petition, the response we got in an affidavit from Councilmember Reese was, I swear these records don't exist on my phone. You know, it wasn't, these aren't public records. Or, you know, I'm not going to search for these. It was, I did a search and these records don't exist. So in response, we did some investigating. We reached out to a few constituents who we thought communicated with him. We found out they did. That the contents of the declaration that was submitted just weren't true. It was after that that the position shifted to, well, we can't force this guy to turn these things over. In our view, that's inconsistent with his prior position. He submitted something to the court saying, hey, I don't have these, not you're not entitled to them.
But having them on your phone is cabins that. Because if you can have, you get text messages and you delete them, you don't have them on your phone. Now, are they retrievable? I'm sure they're somewhere in the nether. But in terms of somebody saying, I don't have it on my phone anymore, it could just be as simple as they didn't retain them.
Understood, right? Justice Stiglitz. And I'd just like to point out that the specific language in the declaration states, I certify that no public records exist on my personal cell phone or any other private device, account, or system under my legal custody and control. It's an extremely broad claim.
And is every tweet by a commissioner, or tweet, I'm not really familiar with all these, a public record?
It is if it's made in their capacity as a public official, just like any other communication, as if they were using, you know, official government channels to communicate. A public official's entire life isn't subject to the Public Records Act, just their duties in the furtherance of their position to which they were elected by the people of the state of Nevada.
Every conversation with a constituent would be a public record?
Oh, no. There's certain conversations, certainly, which aren't subject to disclosure. But that wasn't the claim here. The claim here is that these records don't exist that we're seeking. And we proved that wasn't the case.
But you agree the city does not have those records? The city does not physically have those records.
Insofar as the court is willing to recognize the distinction between the city and a city councilman, yes. It's apparent we have no reason to believe that, you know, anybody at the city other than Councilman Reese has access to these records.
And the city did provide you with communications from Councilman Reese that were under their custody and control.
It looks like those are text messages from his city-issued cell phone. Presumably, you know, he may be using that same cell phone to communicate on social media as well. And I think that, you know, the moral hazard there is that if officials use other devices or accounts than what's been issued to them by the government to communicate, it's kind of an end run around the Public Records Act, which is an issue that was addressed by this court in the Comstock decision.
I guess the way that the mediums have shifted, if a council member makes a call on their city-issued phone, a public record is created of the fact of a call, but not the contents of the call, because there's no obligation for the council member then to go create a record. Is that right?
Indeed, Your Honor.
But if you're texting with a constituent, then that conversation in that medium is a public record. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, Your Honor. Yeah, and we think that's what, you know, if you're going to use your private accounts to carry out your duties as a public official, those records belong to the people of the state of Nevada, not you personally. And that's the essence of the Comstock decision, in my mind, Your Honor. And if I may, I'd just like to address the provisions of NRS 239-0107. Essentially, our position is, you know, what's going on now is a cat and mouse game between requesters and the city. You know, if Dr. Conrad is curious about a criminal investigation, he essentially has to keep asking the same question over and over and over again and getting the same response. And there's no feedback on when the records that are currently confidential will be available. Reading these two sections in harmony to require some kind of response or a tag on the file saying, hey, there's a records request, when the file is no longer confidential, you know, turn it over. I don't think that's an administrative burden that's unreasonable. And we think it actually lessens the amount of work because there isn't this, you know, as I described it, cat and mouse game. As for the issue of confidentiality of investigatory files, as this court is well aware, the Donray v. Bradshaw decision set the standard. That was modified slightly when the legislature amended the Nevada Public Records Act. This court recognized that amendment in Reno Newspapers v. Haley, that exceptions are narrowly construed, et cetera. The system is fine if you follow it. In this case, that just didn't happen, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.